You're listening to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. We're going to try something a little new here, do a political pop culture segment on the show, taking something that's happening in pop culture, whether it's movies or TV or whatever, and we are going to talk about the political angles, if it's either an explicitly political thing or a partly political thing. Obviously, I don't think I'm going to talk about like the politics of Game of Thrones or whatever. It's got to be about U.S. politics or something like that. Joining me in studio for the first time is Dan Fidler. You can follow him, Daniel_Fidler, on Twitter.
That's right.
And Dan, thank you so much for coming in to talk to me today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Dan, what is the first thing we're going to be talking about?
This season of HBO's Veep, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
So, obviously, you and I have been watching the seasons before. I feel like it's a pretty good show that you can jump in and out of. I don't think you have to have necessarily seen it. I mean, obviously, it helps with the character
right.
development, but you don't have to have seen it from the very beginning,
right.
which is why I thought it would be fine to, you know, tell people to jump on this train as it's leaving the season three station. Tell us a little bit about the basics of the show. You mentioned Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but who else is in this? Who's behind it? What is the show about exactly? What is Veep?
Well, it's created by Armando Iannucci, who made the film In the Loop and the television series The Thick of It. He is famous for having a way with curse words and making the English language sound that much more delicious because of it. It stars Julia Louis-Dreyfus as the Vice President of the United States, and the rest of the cast is comprised of her staff, which includes Tony Hale from Arrested Development, as what would you say he plays?
He's the body man.
Yeah.
So he's the person who carries around Vice President Meyer's huge bag of everything.
And whispers in her ear when she needs to know something. There is Anna Chlumsky as...
I think her chief of staff or deputy chief
yeah.
of staff, one of those positions.
Matt Walsh.
He's the communication director for the vice president's office.
And Timothy C. Simons plays Jonah.
Yes, Jonah is the liaison between the White House and the vice president's office, and he's essentially the heel character, I guess, to use the wrestling term, the one that everyone, like, you know... loves to hate and enjoys booing the characters
yeah.
on screen, actively abusing him at all times.
He's the Toby of this series, to quote The Office.
Right. All right, so we've got a number of clips pulled out from season three, episodes 1 and 2, the season premiere and the second episode. If you don't want to hear spoilers, this is the last segment in the show. You can turn it off, you know, until the top of the hour, or turn it off if you're listening online. You know, you won't miss anything. But, you know, we're not spoiling major plot points here. We're just, you know, I guess there's a little bit of stuff from seasons 1 and 2 that maybe
mm-hmm.
are going to be spoiled here. But mostly this is just a few, you know, quality moments that I think illustrate some particular points of interest. The first thing that we're going to be talking about is Selena Meyer's book that she's released, her, you know, her pre-presidential, like paving the way for a presidential run book.
Right.
And also, as relates to that, her position on abortion, which is something that comes up in episode 2. You know, what is her position on abortion? Because one of the major themes is that no one in this series wants to take a position on anything ever in any way, shape, or form. And obviously, that's part of the satire of Washington. But, you know, before we get started, there was a recent BuzzFeed article, actually, on all these political memoirs and these sort of policy book things that get released by all these candidates. And obviously, you know, if it's like Mitt Romney's book or Barack Obama's books, both the one from way before he was going to run for president
mm-hmm.
and when he was about to run for president, those sell really well because the person gets the nomination and then, you know, maybe gets elected president in Obama's case. Some of these other books basically get pretty limited print runs. They're quite expensive to make. They get bought by everyone in Washington, D.C. and no one else. And then no one actually has to read them because all the D.C. journalists just summarize the most interesting parts on, you know, online everywhere freely.
They're ghostwritten too, right?
Yeah, they're generally ghostwritten by a staff member in many cases. You know, some of these people make a substantial amount of money off them, especially 10 years ago or so. You know, John McCain was putting out a book like every, like, you know, 6 months practically, I think. And those did pretty well. But the BuzzFeed investigation was saying, especially on the Republican side, these seem to have topped out, particularly in light of some of the, you know, quote unquote scandals, like where Tim Pawlenty's super PAC or something tried to buy up like half of the entire print run to make sure that it would be high on the New York Times bestseller list. So it's all kind of this huge shell game and total garbage. So that's kind of, they decided to open the season by satirizing this book. And we're going to hear just how bad of a book this is. and from the title to the content and how totally and utterly vacuous it is. So let's give a listen to that now.
So kind to say so.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks
for coming today. Nice to see you. Thank you so much. Come forward.
Yep. Is this one a caucus goer?
Could be. Is that a Star Wars reference, A New Beginning?
No, this is actually Some New Beginnings, Our Next American Journey.
Too late to change it?
It is. Yeah. Hello.
This one's caucus.
Oh, that's too loud.
Okay.
Can't say that loud. I think you're going to dig it. Let's raise minimum wage. Blind people are people too. A very enjoyable read. It's complex. I'm exhausted. Journey is endless, you know? Global issue. I call it Some New Beginnings because it's plural. God bless you, et cetera.
So that was Vice President Selina Meyer signing her book in Iowa, trying to get, she hasn't even announced she's running for president. She's just trying to build general support among Iowa caucus goers. How would you describe her interactions with the human masses of the American voters?
She doesn't have the social skills to to talk with actual people.
And also awkward with people who aren't in her
inner circle. Yeah,
right? She clearly very upset with this ringer guy they've sent to help her with this book tour. And then, you know, a lot of this is this mix, I think, in episodes going back and forth between her public interactions and her private interactions, again, with people that she either trusts or is reasonably comfortable being open with. So we're going to hear, I think he's the White House chief of staff, if I remember what his position is correctly. He wanders into the hotel room where she's hiding from the public, essentially, and she's got all these stacks of books, and they're both talking about how terrible the book is while he signs copies in her name.
Right.
And she, you know, takes a break. So let's give a listen to that interaction.
Look at us. You pretending to be me signing a book I didn't even write.
Well, that's politics in a nut.
Yeah.
New Beginnings, Our Next American Journey.
What do you think of that title?
Well, it's so full of shit. There's a colon right smack dab in the middle.
Oh, God. They kept coming up with all of these awful titles. You wouldn't even have believed it. Like, Footsteps to the Future was one. Red, White, and You was actually another one. Yes. Hands of Our Children.
What?
It was like a massacre or something.
It's sick.
I know. I was so busy listening to these stupid I didn't listen to this voice in my own head saying, this is dog Selena, this is complete dog. No, don't step in it. Don't. You just stepped in it. Now look here. It's printed in a book, so that's good.
So obviously, you know, she didn't write the book. As Dan mentioned, a lot of these books are ghostwritten. That's pretty typical, I think, in real life of these memoir things. But then everyone combs through them, usually with the index, so they don't actually have to read it. And they try to find the, you know, specific positions. So in the second episode, as we're going to hear from some clips from now, she is forced to take a public position on abortion, really doesn't want to. And the first place they try to look is in her book. And that just doesn't help in any way in identifying her position, right?
Right.
Mike, we're trying to figure out how I think about this issue.
Okay,
you know?
Well, the Post actually wants to know if you've changed your stance on abortion, RE, voted.
Yeah.
So you could say, as a woman, I believe
no,
that...
No. I can't identify myself as a woman. People can't know that.
Hey, ma'am, didn't you write something about abortion in your book?
Yes.
Oh, good point.
Yeah,
good point.
Good, Gary.
Yeah.
Good. Where's the book? Does anybody have a copy of the book here?
What is
Guys,
it?
Guys, who has a copy?
Oh, you know
is
what?
One here?
I have a bunch of unsold ones in my car.
Honey, okay. Is Lena's book in the bathroom?
Okay, here we go. Abbey Road, Abolition, Aboriginal Mass.
Page 135.
Oh, this is it.
Yay. Freedom is what this nation is built on, blah, 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 blah. And freedom means the freedom to choose how to use that freedom to protect the freedom
of
others.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's just pastel colors. It's got to be more clear than that.
You make it very clear. You're pro-choice.
Okay, I got it. Freedom is what this
nation is. Yeah, done it, Mike. It's going to come down to the cutoff week. It always does.
There's two doors, okay? Pro-choice, pro-life.
Yeah.
There's no point in rattling the handles on either one of them. You just got to pick a door and walk through it. Two doors. Pro-choice, pro-life. That's it.
Is there a third door?
What, like a woman's door?
A back door? No.
A trap door.
Let me see this. And what is this spike right here?
The I don't knows.
Okay, so I am looking at a page, and I am seeing most of America standing up proudly and saying, I don't know.
We were shocked ourselves.
So obviously the book wasn't any help in elucidating her position in any way whatsoever. I would say probably this is going to go up there in that sort of trinity with Scandal, with House of Cards, right? In the sense of these modern political shows that are, you know, set in DC today, as opposed, you know, they're not West Wing or whatever, mm-hmm. although many people still watch that regularly, but that's not on the air. But those are the three current DC shows, I think. Obviously, this is a lot funnier than House of Cards, probably. Substantially less murdering and such things. What do you think this says about kind of where the demand is in, you know, for the audiences in terms of pop culture, right? Is this something, these sort of less flattering portrayals, all three of those shows I would say have less flattering portrayals of DC than what we maybe used to see. Do you think that's what the audiences are looking for right now? What is behind this trend toward these shows that are less flattering toward DC?
I don't know, but I think DC likes it, because every time I've seen someone from Scandal, House of Cards, or Veep on a talk show, they've all mentioned that the White House and the Secret Service, they all love these three shows, and they watch them, and they gossip about them themselves.
The other thing that you wanted to talk about was this kind of gossiptainment concept, political gossiptainment. Obviously, in the first episode, as we're going to hear, Jonah's character, the much-hated Jonah, tries to start a blog called West Wing Man.
Westwingman.net. Never heard of this.
Come on, man, you're embarrassing yourself. That's the hottest gossip site in D.C.
Yeah? Lifting the lid on the interagency softball league? Face-to-face with America's wind tycoons. Wow, this is some seriously butterknife dull shit, man.
No. Underneath, that's grit legit.
So what's West Wing Man got on the Mannix thing?
No, nothing yet, but he will. If it ain't on West Wing Man, it ain't no thing, man.
It's you, isn't it?
Who told you that?
You just did, you dummy.
God! Keep that under your hat.
Yeah, sure.
That's just between you and me.
Uh-huh.
Dan, what did you think about this political gossiptainment aspect of it?
Well, as someone who's interested in the journalism world, it definitely shows that you got to be careful when you start a blog, because you could PO a lot of people if you are not doing it properly. Obviously, if you're working for the White House, you should not be writing a gossip blog about the White House. But this plot was very good, because everyone hates Jonah, and so he got in a lot of trouble in the first episode, and it was fun to watch the entire White House staff just like
mercilessly mocking him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this was, I don't know if it was just something they came up with. A lot of times the showrunners have said that they didn't actually anticipate things that were going to happen. Like, they had already written the scripts, mm-hmm. and then stuff that was basically in their script happened in real life.
Right.
So it's, you know, life imitating art rather than the other way around. I think there was somebody got fired recently from the White House, or not probably the White House, but one of the like executive agencies or something, for having some sort of, you know, gossipy blog type mm-hmm. thing anonymously that was eventually uncovered. Or maybe it was a Twitter account or something. So this is not entirely unheard of for somebody to be trying to do that in this day and age, but clearly he's not very good despite his bravado. And, you know, I happen to think most of this political gossiptainment stuff is kind of a drag and, you know, not very interesting, but obviously it's what appeals to certain people. Later, when that causes problems for him, he starts a different blog, Ryantology, Jonah Ryan, right? And he's just basically screaming things into various cameras from his home in the middle of the night.
This is Jonah Ryan, and you are witnessing the birth of Ryantology.
Old media like the Washington Post better go run and hide in the bathroom and join the Pooh York Times, because we are cutting in. I am going to be updating more than I'm actually dating, which is a load. First up, abortion. And now that the president's given his state of the uterus address, where will the others fall in? We have Maddox, he's conservative. Chung, he's liberal. But where does Selena Meyer stand? The first call could rule them all.
Sir, how do I turn this off?
You just hit the red button.
Funny, right?
Yeah, so this is, you know, I think a pretty good satire of that particular aspect, but I think you would probably agree this show in general is a very strong satire of kind of the Beltway culture or whatever, mm-hmm. right? We're moving away from that sort of Aaron Sorkin, you know, everything is wonderful and all our jobs are so important and we're making a difference. And sometimes we got to compromise because that puts us in a position to do a better thing later. In this, it's all about compromising for literally no reason or just minuscule gains that will be erased by the next big thing, right? This is definitely a scandal driven show in the way that Scandal is, of course, but this is a lot less melodramatic.
Everyone on her staff, including herself, is a terrible person.
Yeah, they're basically all monsters, but very, very funny monsters, and it's a lot of fun to watch. Obviously, as Dan said, there's a lot of cursing, and you could hear that by the fact that I had to remove them all to air this. Did you have any other thoughts on the show Veep in general, or why people should watch it, start watching now if they haven't already gotten on board with that?
People should watch it because I think the acting is top-notch, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I mean, I never watched a lot of Seinfeld or the other shows that she was on, but she's doing some really good work in this show, as can be attested by the fact that she's won 2 Emmys 2 years in a row for this role. I see no reason why, if this season keeps progressing the way it's going, why she won't win again. And that, and it's just, it's so funny. I watch a lot of shows per week, and this one, none of them makes me laugh as hard as this one does.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming on Arsenal for Democracy to talk about Veep. We are both giving it high recommendations.
2 thumbs up.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that trademarked? Anyway, but yeah, go check out Veep, as long as you don't mind a lot of cursing. But I think it's tasteful cursing in the sense that it's very creative plays around with the English language. So folks, if you want to follow more of Dan Fidler's commentary, go to Daniel_Fidler on Twitter. Follow him there. You can hear about various non-political pop culture things. And Dan, we'll get you back on the show to talk about Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier our next segment.
Looking forward to it.
And that's all the time we have this week. Thanks for listening to Arsenal for Democracy for April 21st, 2014. Tweet us your comments at AFDRadio or email AFDRadio@gmail.com. The show is available for download from arsenalfordemocracy.com on Wednesdays. You can also hear it on the air in Delaware from 91.3 FM WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern. Special thanks to my voiceover man, Justin. You can follow his work at the Digitized Ramblings of an 8-Bit Animal from 8bitanimal.com. You can get additional commentary at arsenalfordemocracy.com daily, as well as links to articles discussed today. From my studio in Newton, Massachusetts, I'm Bill Humphrey, and I approve this message. Good night.